All right, you're back in the DFSR here with an MLB podcast for Tuesday, July 24th. I'm Doug Norrie. That finally back with us is...
James Davis. Finally back with us. Did you do podcast without me?
No. I actually missaid that. I was going to apologize as soon as I said it. And I was actually thinking about just starting the recording over because I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say we're finally back. And I realized as I was saying it that it implied that you were finally back and I've been here the whole time. I mean, I have been here the whole time. So,
I was out there living my life, buddy, while you were just sitting around. But I'm here now.
No, yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I realize this is the first podcast we've had since the All-Star break. We've had some other scheduling issues, but we are back. DFSR.com/MLB is the website to go get yourself started. Free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, NFL, which is really just coming down the pike pretty soon here. NHL, NBA, when those seasons start. It's all covered under one subscription package. So go check that out. DFSR.com/MLB. Yeah, I was just trying to think because I forgot that baseball came back last Friday and we usually podcast on Fridays, but then we didn't, and now we're just back in the throw of things as we power through the, I guess it's almost like the final third of the season here in baseball. Buddy, are you glad to be back? I mean, we had a nice little 2-week window of being off talking no baseball. I know you feel like you're fully back in the fold here.
Just to be clear, it was only 1 week. Like I feel like you were in a time warp. It was the All-Star break, then there was one day where there was a Friday, and now we're here, right? Or am I insane?
Yeah, I'm having some issues lately of just like judging time. I've noticed.
You like living in a black hole, like time's warping around you. I have no idea what's
going
on.
I will say that there's been a lot of, this has nothing to do with baseball related, but like there's been a lot of things lately where I've been like, I don't know if we've just been really busy or like a lot of stuff's been happening, but I feel like things that have happened not too long ago, like you said, like only 1 week, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit because it feels like a month away. I'm like, oh my God, can you believe that barbecue was like last Saturday? It feels like a year ago. I feel like I've been having lots of situations like that. I don't know if I've been busy or... I don't know what the hell's going on. So, yeah, okay, my bad. We've only been gone a week. This is a really good start to the pod here of just not being able to judge any time in any realistic way. All right, let's talk about what's going on.
You should trust us
here
when it comes to the numbers of baseball. Time beyond us, but we can
talk
baseball.
Maybe I'm just getting too lost in analytics.
Like Russian mathematicians who like lives in his mom's basement and solves million-dollar math problems, but like
yeah, I'm like John Nash and Beautiful
Mind. Can't
find
his own toothpaste just, like, and stuff. Like that.
Staring at that blackboard, you don't realize you've been doing it for 12 hours because you've been like just having your eyes go across till everything just kind of lines up perfectly.
That's a good cop. I'm more of like the Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. That's like kind of more like me. Just
a
like
janitor,
totally badass, but also like underachieving, but could win a fist fight or a court case. You know, and you're more like the John Nash is like completely nuts. Generally, just scares people around you, like that kind of thing. Also,
like
good
for
math,
Princeton.
Yeah,
exactly. Was able to like get his resume together enough to like get a job at Princeton and stuff like that instead of just like sleeping on a mattress and having his best friend pick him up for his construction job, which is not no issues with construction jobs.
But again, great looking, gets all the beautiful women.
I think we could agree. Even Ben Affleck agreed that he didn't want him to do that job anymore. So I'm going to speak for Ben Affleck. All right, let's go. Let's talk about some baseball action for today. If you made it through the first 3.5 minutes of that mess, we are going to talk some Tuesday baseball action. After a day where there was a decent amount of good pitchers, Severino, and they all kind of just had their issues. Like Severino was looking okay, and then just got completely blown up. DeGrom let up some runs. Kluber got blown up. I'm trying to think who else. There was somebody else. Stripling was a strike away from having a quality start and then a lot of grand slam. So a lot of different like weird little things happen with pitching. I feel like today there's a list of decent pitchers, and I feel like outside of one, they all just kind of have issues. Do you think, I mean, we can just start here, because do you think when we look at cash game pitchers, do you think that Paxton just stands out as like the clear-cut, this is the guy to roster really on both sides? He's only 10-2 on DraftKings. That kind of seems like a mistake. 9-3 on FanDuel. That seems like an almost even bigger mistake. I mean, is there any reason to not play him in cash today when looking at some of the other situations? Those are good arms, but I think we can make cases, pretty strong cases against them. And also, do you just feel like Paxton's like maybe just possibly mispriced for the numbers he's put up this season?
I think we've talked about how we feel like Paxton's mispriced for the numbers he's put up this season all season long. So that remains true today. He's going up against the Giants, bottom 10 team against left-handed pitching in spite of the addition of all those righty bats. They have a sub-300 WOBA against lefties, so just generally terrible. They're pitching at home in Seattle, one of the best pitcher's parks in all of baseball. So there's really, like as you look at some of these other names, you're going to find some pretty big strikes against them. Like obviously you're not going to run Garrett Cole in Colorado. You can scroll for a while before you find other good pitchers. I guess like I mean, who do you even want to do? Jose Berrios in Toronto? Like, that doesn't strike me as a great place to land. You got Maeda and Nola facing each other. You know, reasonable matchups, but it's basically a pick 'em, so you don't get that money line edge that you get in this game either. So, yeah, it's I think it's pretty straightforward for cash for me.
Paxton, 5 of his last 7 games has gone 7 or more innings. He struck out double-digit batters in 3 of those games, and then 2 of the other ones get 9 strikeouts. So it's like, I know you let up 4 runs last time against Colorado. It was in Colorado, so I don't know like what you want the guy to do. Still won 7 innings and struck out 9 guys. Like, I don't know what the guy needs to do to be priced over 10,000 on FanDuel. It's like, it's completely ridiculous. This guy's peripherals are among the best in the game. He goes long in the games, mostly because he's like that Alex, well, I hate to compare them because he's better than Alex Wood, but he is like that type of pitcher that strikes out a lot of guys and induces ground balls. And so when you're able to do both of those things, you were able, right? So I guess that not as much this year. It was a 45% ground ball rate last year, down to 38% this year. So I take that back a little bit. He's been more of a ground ball guy in the past that hasn't played out as much this season. Either way, though, the guy just goes so long in the games. Like, he just has the floor and the upside with the strikeouts. I just don't really get it. I think he's going to be, we saw DeGrom as something like an 75 to 80% start in cash. Nah, I'm a little lower, 75 to 70% start in cash games. I think we see on FanDuel, Paxton at least in that same range tonight, if not higher, just because 9,300, even with a game in cores, like, it doesn't, that 9,300 doesn't do anything to stop you from rostering big bats.
Well, right? Just to be like, clear, the reason Paxton might not be a super duper slam dunk is that the fact that he left his last start early with that back issue, right? And it was right before the All-Star break. He was officially placed on the DL, but since it was over the All-Star break, it didn't really matter. So I guess the question would be, if you're concerned, now, there's no concerns right now. He went through his bullpen session on Saturday, no setbacks. He like looked good, generally speaking, but that would be the only concern here, right? That he got pulled early against LA, was terrible in that start. So it's not just the core start.
I take that back. You know, I feel bad because I was looking at his game log and I saw those two, I'm just as a point of honesty because, like, whatever, you just can't know every single thing that ever happens in baseball. I read that two thirds innings as like as his all-star break start. So I'm feeling bad.
Oh, like an all-star game appearance? Yeah.
Yeah. I misread the game log in this query. So like I was just assuming that that 2/3 of an inning was like him pitching the all-star game. So anyway, so a point of honesty, you know, that is a concern. I guess I want to temper my enthusiasm just a little bit knowing that because if he hasn't pitched in 12 days, I guess there could be some pitch count issues also. Like 14 days is right at that threshold where if you haven't done too much work, you might not ramp all the way back up to 100 pitches. Even that being said, I think for our system's purposes, we need to give him a pretty healthy downgrade to not be in the top lineups right now. So
yeah, he's still too cheap, all that being said.
And Vegas still sees him as like the clear guy going here because, you know, he's got a -190 favorite for Seattle team. That's really, you know, Seattle's whatever. And San Francisco's bad, but 3.2 implied runs on the San Francisco side still implies that they see Paxton as being the pitcher.
Exactly. Record, like, they're favored that way, not because of the great Seattle bullpen, but because they think Paxton's going to be out there for 6 innings or whatever. Right?
Correct. So I think even with a downgrade, okay, so I'll temper my enthusiasm and my, flabbergastedness about just how mispriced he was, knowing that that was some of that injury thing. And it probably the two-third innings start probably does affect the algorithm in some way that says, like, performance-based algorithm that says, oh, you know, he only pitched 2/3, like, he's going to get a healthy downgrade on his salary. Now, after him, you know, we mentioned the other guys just having some warts here, and we're also going to need to come up with a starting pitcher, too, on DraftKings. Where do you see us looking here? I think there are some mispriced guys on DraftKings. I don't know if you have, some of these guys stand out to you, but you mentioned Nola, Maeda. We have Tanaka too, Berrios. I mean, are any of these guys worth paying up for and kind of going double expensive, or do you see us kind of maybe pivoting to a cheaper guy on DraftKings?
I mean, my gut tells me I'd like to go a little cheaper in the pitcher two slot, but I think it's worth just like getting that Nola Maeda game out of the way first. I don't think you're going to play Nola here because you're not really seeing enough of a price decrease on a guy who, you know, admittedly has been pretty good. I think Jerry even wrote him up as his Cy Young candidate after.
Yeah, well, he's from Philly.
He's not what I was going to say. Jerry, no way a Phillies homer either, which is what makes it crazy that he picked him. It's a comical pick, but poor Jerry. Love the guy, but come on, Jerry, get it together. I think Maeda, you know, he's pretty interesting for me from a big tournament perspective because, you know, even for a guy that's on a fairly strict pitch count, he can just light it up from time to time. I mean, he's got exactly nine Ks in each of his last 4 starts. And by the way, for or on the on the other side, the Dodgers are just also just a terrible matchup for Nola. So the money line, all that included, you're just not going to play him. But yeah, for me, the Phillies are a pretty reasonable matchup here. I think he can, you know, on a night if you think everyone's going to go Paxton, or if you're scared by Paxton based on some of the stuff that we threw out there before. Phillies lead the league in strikeout percentage against right-handed pitching. Oh, no, I'm sorry, they dipped. They're 0.2% behind the Padres now, but still an excellent team to target strikeouts against. Made it still reasonably priced. The money line's not really in his favor, but like we've talked about for big tournaments in the past, it doesn't really matter. Someone's going to get the win from this game, and it might as well be Maeda, right? Like, if you're trying to win a big tournament, you have to get the win anyway. So I really like him for big tournaments. I don't know. I mean, between him and Paxton, I'm still going to go Paxton at these prices, though.
Yeah, so I think also, well, a couple of things. One is, I agree with you, Maeda. I'm always just a little worried about the Dodgers pitch counts, as always. Like, Stripling, we've seen this. Like, they were locked in at 90 pitches on him. He probably wasn't going to exceed that last night, even if he had gotten through the bottom of the sixth, where he kind of got blown up in the end. Pitch counts still become a concern. One thing I wrote up the other day about just – I wrote this up for Patrick Corbin, because I saw Corbin as a great GPP play yesterday, and he was awesome. He, like, basically was the GPP play against the Cubs last night. I wrote him up over as wrote an article about over the All-Star break about guys who's had the biggest dips and boosts in strikeout percentage this year, and Corbin's like second, and it looks all for all purposes real. Anyway, there's another guy that fits into this category tonight. So last night I said, if you compare Corbin's price relative to the most expensive guy on DraftKings, and then you get a 15% discount on him there, but you get a 30% discount on him on FanDuel. So he's like, okay, well, who made the mistake in terms of percentages? Zach Wheeler falls into the same category again today. So Zach Wheeler on FanDuel, but going the opposite direction. FanDuel, he is 9,000, so he's like right behind Paxton, Gerrit Cole, and I want to talk about Cole in a second too. But on DraftKings, he's 7,700. And so if you look at this, the percentage difference in price he is on FanDuel compared to DraftKings, he's facing San Diego. His start was pushed back because of DeGrom. At 7,700, knowing that he gets this matchup against the Padres, who continue to just be, I know at times they've, I don't know, people want to claim that they, like the, you know, they can be feisty or whatever. Like, that's mostly just because people pay attention to Padres games more than others, because you're always rostering your pitcher against them.
I'm sure they're so pretty feisty. They are Major League Baseball players, but that doesn't mean
right. But I went off on one day. I think I said this on the podcast before. I went completely off on one day, like on our members only chat. By the way, you can get into this members only chat to have me yell at you too, but at dfsr.com/MLB. But I was like, people just are, they think the Padres are better because you watch the Padres play every single night because you roster your pitchers against them every single night because they suck. Like, I just don't, don't know another way to explain this. Like, you're just more in tune to them than you are like the Royals or the White Sox or other teams like this. But he's only 7,700 on FanDuel. He is not a huge favorite. Slight favorite. Oh, no, excuse me. There's no line in the game. He's probably going to be something like a minus 140, I would guess. At 7,700, can you... I think our projection is being held down right now by having no line in that game. At 7,700, could you see taking the savings on him against the Padres?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see the Padres name, you have to... Your eyes have to perk up. It's just, I guess, how much do we trust in Zach Wheeler? Like, you know, he's certainly shown flashes in the past, but like, or is he just mostly like the combination of the matchup plus the generic DraftKings pitcher too? Like, this guy fits in, could be decent.
I don't know. He's striking out a batter an inning almost this season. I mean, the walks are there. He walks more than three guys per nine. He's been going, I don't know, low fives innings, and the XFIP is right around four. He's not great, but
low fives innings is bad, by the way, like, just so we're clear.
Not at 7,700. Let me take this back, because I was just, maybe I was doing the math here. Oh, sorry. No, sorry. I did the math wrong. Six innings per start. 5.94. Carry a one there. So six innings per start with almost a strikeout an inning. Does walk some guys. Low four, right at four XFIP. I mean, those numbers are an above average pitcher. Not a great pitcher.
Yeah, that's
true.
I guess like I'm underrating the incremental improvements across all categories for Wheeler. Because, you know, as a Mets fan, Doug, hard to view these things objectively sometimes. Had big hopes for Wheeler when he came over in that Beltran trade, you know. But, yeah, so you are seeing the incremental steps back towards the pitcher he was in 2014. You know, he never really got the ground ball rate back, but he does look like an okay pitcher. He still falls in that kind of generic pitcher two category for me, a guy who can strike guys out with, like, a basically league average XFIP. But if you put that up against the Padres, one of the very best matchups in human history for right-handed pitchers, yeah, you probably do have a play on your hands here.
Well, going the other way is Eric Lauer. Now, Eric Lauer was supposed to start yesterday. He got pushed back a day, and they started Lucchese. But now, I feel like Lauer was going to be the probably most popular play yesterday, and then with the scratch, they kind of pivoted into some other guys like Castillo. He's 4,000 on DraftKings. When you get to this $4,000 range as a starting pitcher on DraftKings, you really need to look at just about anybody in this kind of matchup, because $4,000 is just the very cheapest you can be as a pitcher. There are guys that don't qualify. There are guys who qualify as plays, like the Lucas Giolitos of the world are not going to be they're not going to, even at $4,000, we can kind of ignore it. But he's another guy, if you look at him, he's not good, but he's not terrible, right? So he almost 8 Ks per 9. He walks some guys. Now here's the thing, where if you get into low fives innings at this price, you actually just still need to like maybe make a consideration for him, because he's right around 5 innings per start. At 4,000 and we also get the Mets, who the Mets are awful. Just no other way to put it. They have just about nobody in the lineup that can hit. They batted Rosario lead off the other night against the lefty. They might do it again. That's starting to tell you all you need to know. But I don't even, at 4,000, is this, with a game in Coors too and some other bats in some good spots, is this the time where we just do take that min price pitcher and just say, let's go for it, because you're never going to get a savings like this really ever again on a pitcher that you really would want to consider?
Yeah, you can certainly make a case for it. I mean, the weird thing about Lauer is he certainly has these like horrendous blow up, just total dog poop, as it were, starts. Like the last start at 4,000, you get the 2 innings, 5 earned runs, 3 Ks, and you're pretty unhappy with your $4,000 investment. But the very start before that, 8 2/3 and 8 Ks. I mean, I think if you have that level of upside on the minimum price, it's hard to make an argument against a guy being a reasonable play. And prior to that 2 innings start, you know, like, this is the tricky thing about averaging out over the course of the season. He's got 2 starts with 2 innings this season. The lowest other than that, oh, I'm sorry, he's got 3 starts with 2 innings. Yeah, so he's definitely got that blow-up potential. But prior to this most recent 2-inning start, you've got 8 starts with 5 innings or more. You know, so I think you can...
And 8 of those starts in a row were 3 earned runs or less. Like he went 5 or more innings and allowed 1-1-3-1-0-2-3-1 earned runs. Like, yeah. You can't take out these blowout performances because he has those ones early in the year. But if you want to look at recent track record, a lot of the blowup came early in the season, where his four of his first 7 games, like he was just getting just knocked all over the place. But really, since then, he's been an average pitcher. Like, he's been fine for 4,000. I think it's a mispricing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, so it seems like that pitcher 2 slot's actually pretty competitive on DraftKings tonight. Like, we haven't even mentioned guys like Masahiro Tanaka, who's also very, very reasonably priced and has flashed some pretty significant upside recently, too. I mean, in Tanaka's last 5 starts, he's got 3 of them with 7 Ks or more. Now, he's also not going super deep into games, but you're not really paying much here. You're paying $8,600 for a guy who's been priced over 10,000 when he's really, you know, at his peak. And that wasn't that long ago. Like, last season, he was almost at 10 Ks per 9. This year, 9 K, or just exactly a strikeout an inning, 9 Ks per 9, 2.3 walks per 9. Really, the only issue he's had has been a ridiculously unlucky home run to fly ball ratio, where he's giving up home runs on 21% of the balls that make it into the air, which doesn't seem sustainable. So, yeah, I think Tanaka's another pretty reasonable, you know, perhaps less risky pitcher 2 option here.
One more thing before we get to some of these stacks. I think that the easiest GPP play of the slate, and it's not really close to me, is Cole. So Colorado will do this GPP, not cash. Like, if you include the injury part on Paxton, Cole is clearly the best pitcher going on this slate. Like, this guy is like a $12,000 pitcher when he's not pitching in Coors almost every night with money lines. And his numbers are just, the strikeouts are more and more looking like just completely sustainable. He was by far the biggest K riser, like, wasn't even close. Like, he's striking out almost 12.5 guys per 9. He's got a pretty new repertoire. And he's getting dumped down because you have this game in Coors. You can just have good games in Coors. Like, I don't know. Like,
It does happen. It tends to happen more for guys that don't rely on breaking stuff.
Exactly. And he's like fastball. He's basically fastball, and I think it was cutter. I'll look it up real quick. So, you know, he was slider. It was fastball, slider. And then curveball. So that's not like probably the makeup you want to see of a guy here. But again, his strikeout stuff just really does eclipse almost any other pitcher on the slate except for Paxton here. And you're getting him at a discount. I think that whenever you can take guys at discounts, if you want, you have to factor in that there's some blow up potential here. But the Rockies, you know, their offense is good when they face lefties, but they really don't have much in the way. Like, all their best hitters, the reverse, except for Blackman, their platoon splits are much better against lefties than they are against righties. Arenado, Story, Desmond, and Cargo is just kind of a shell of himself. I think that easily for me, if you're going to go with GBP route, on a discount for a guy with the win expectation who's getting his price down simply because of the park. And that makes sense because you allow a lot of runs. I am firmly on Cole. I would lock him in GBP, and I think that you have a lot of upside there, and he'll be probably underowned because people are going to look at that park and really not want to do it. Get into some of these stacks. Hit us up with a sponsor.
The sponsor I'd like to hit you up with, Doug, is nohalftime.com. That was a little suspense. Been working on my broadcasting while we were away. But yeah, talking about nohalftime.com. Nohalftime is a great place to go if you want to play out the remainder of the DFS baseball season without having to worry about, you know, doing all this stuff that we do every single day, basically, you know, adjusting the salaries at the last second, you know, trying to make that last $100 work. Nohalftime is a great place to go if you just want to basically settle those bar bets, right? Who's going to have a bigger night tonight? Is it Cole or is it James Paxton? You just issue a challenge to the world. Then you can go over there. If someone accepts it, great, it's game on. If not, no worries, you get your money back. You can also use the app to look through the hundreds of challenges that are issued every single day over at No Halftime. And you go use the promo code DFSR right now. You can get a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
All right, we have a couple games here with some interesting pitching matchups. Last night, I thought was one of the better. There was Daniel Ponce de Leon, who they called him. His nickname is the Explorer. Ponce de Leon, by the way, is the best last name I maybe ever heard in baseball. Just like no spaces or anything. But tonight, the Cardinals followed that up by starting Austin Gomber tonight. We can talk a little bit about him. There's some other. For some reason, I just read this as Goober. I know it's Gomber, but I think I'm just going to destined to say it Goober because that's what I thought it was when I first looked at it. Anyway, where do you want to start here with stacks? There's a lot of pitchers going that. Whenever we're kind of making weird decisions sometimes about starting pitchers in terms of just who we're going to roster, who's going to be on the mound, that's usually a sign that things are going to get a little bit weird with stacks just because there are probably a lot of bums going. But where do you think you want to start with stacks?
Well, I want to start with the modern-day James Shields, and that's Homer Bailey. Homer Bailey's going up against the St. Louis Cardinals today. Bailey this season has the 5.3 xFIP, which means he's actually running pretty bad on his 6.7 ERA. Can you imagine being able to pitch 62 innings in the majors, giving up almost 7 runs every 9 innings that you pitch? Well, that's Homer Bailey's life right now. He's giving up more than 2 home runs per 9 as well, which makes him just an excellent candidate to lead the league in that category by the end of the season, but also for our GPP stacks too. So, you know, the Cardinals, I think, oftentimes wind up being in a pretty good spot simply because they don't tend to be the most expensive guys overall, and you can get them for both safety and upside tonight. So, you know, you can grab Jose Martinez if you want to tap in a little bit of that upside. You know, you can sprinkle in whoever winds up batting towards the top of the lineup. You can probably grab Ozuna pretty cheaply right now too on FanDuel. He's under 3,000. Yeah, I think you just have a couple of pretty good options there.
Yeah, Ozuna, he's a guy that kind of shows up in our projections a lot. He's a guy that I've written up because I think that I just keep waiting for like a serious regression on him, and then it just hasn't really come. I mean, the OPS is under 700 right now. He's got some BABIP issues. He's like 25 points lower than his career numbers. His hard contact rate is like by far the best of his career at 45%. He's really never had a season over 39%, and he's just better this season. And everything else is just not working out for him. The home run, the fly ball is the lowest of his career. The BABIP's the lowest of his career. The walks are down a little bit, but the K's are down too. This is just a guy who's just, for me, running bad. And he's cheap every night for a reason because the numbers haven't really been there. Yeah, I'm all over it. Ozuna, even paying up for Carpenter. Carpenter's been awesome, like, in the last 2 months. He's getting very expensive on DraftKings. They did
Carpenter's
move
Carpenter's also just a good hitter. Like, whenever Carpenter, he does get cheap from time to time because, you know, he's not like a conventional power hitter or anything like that. But the guy's approach is just so good that it just almost has to come back at some point. So, you know, thankfully we were kind of catching him if Carpenter was a little bit cheaper. But it also just goes to show you in baseball, like, just take the values where you get them. You know, they actually do present themselves when guys are running bad. Ozuna is the example of that now. So if you're grumpy with Ozuna right now, just try to get into your own mind and remember when you were also grumpy about playing Carpenter or any of these other guys too. So
yeah, only 4,200 for him on FanDuel. That's still, to me, I mean, this guy's got close to 1,000 OPS this season, and that includes an early part of the season that was pretty bad. This guy's just been about the best hitter in baseball over the last 2 months. So yeah, I'm all over the Cardinals. I'm going the other way against the Reds. I mean, I mentioned Gomber. He is, by all accounts, not a very good pitcher in his own right. The Reds are, so he has 15. This is pretty tough to do. So Gomber right now has 15 games all out of the bullpen. He's pitched 14 innings. He's got 6 Ks per nine and 5 walks per nine. When you're doing that out of the bullpen, you suck. I don't know. I mean, relative to major league pitcher, my buddy always gets me mad. Gets mad when I say a major league pitcher sucks because the idea here being
we get it.
Relative to other major league baseball pitchers, Gomber is awful. If you can't, if you're doing this out of the bullpen, you have kind of no chance. It's just because you are being put in the most optimal spot ever coming out of the bullpen, and if that's what you're doing, 5 walks. I mean, forget about it. I actually think the Reds line is probably a little low based on what this guy's done. Now he might just be like a 2-inning guy here because they're going to do the relief starter and then kind of get into the bullpen. Reds bullpen, I don't think there's any great shakes here. But Peraza at the top of the lineup, Votto even lefty on lefty, I think I'm fine with because he's just proven year after year that he's better against righties, but it's not to any great degree. And then the guy like Suarez, Duvall, guys like this down the bottom of the lineup. I think that the Reds and by the way in I think the second best hitter's park after Colorado. Texas might have overtaken them, but it's at worst is the top three for power parks. Now, going over to Texas, though, where are you looking at this game? Because here we have Frankie Montes and Mike Minor with an 11.5 over-under. I mean, you made a comment about this off the air, but when you throw up 11 runs, and then, I mean, what did you say? You thought it was, like, surprised that it was a pick'em? I mean, where do you stand with
that? Well, yeah, like Vegas knows one thing, which is that so many runs are going to be scored in this game, but the pitching is just so bad, and it just basically makes all the hitters, like, just on even playing field. It's like, if you had the batting practice pitcher going out there, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to figure out who was going to win, right? Because all major league hitters can hit pitchers of that caliber, and that's kind of what Vegas is saying here. They're just like, I don't know, dude. It's going to be in Texas. There's going to be a ton of runs put up. It's your guess as to who's going to be involved there. Both Montas is just running hot on the ERA this season. By the way, the 3.35 ERA does not speak to the sub 6 Ks per nine that this guy puts up. Like, he's an actual batting practice pitcher in everything except for ERA, basically. The 43% ground ball rate and the 4% home run to fly ball rate means we have serious regression coming in the home runs category as well. And when he does regress, you can expect him to look something like Mike Minor, who also around 7 Ks per 9, also just generating tons of fly balls, 35% ground ball rate. He actually is giving up probably his fair share of home runs at 1.45. But yeah, right now our projection system is just heavily stacking this game. I think on FanDuel, it's not lineup one. Lineup two has 4 A's in it. Lineup one has 2. We have multiple A's and Rangers in our top overall DraftKings lineups. So yeah, it's basically just a feast from this game. And it's kind of funny too. Like, if you put these guys up and you knew there was another game where Jeremy Hellickson and Junior Guerra were going up against each other, but we weren't even going to touch that game because this one was so juicy, you're in a pretty good spot. So yeah, stack both sides of the Oakland-Texas game. Don't think too hard about it.
Yeah, that's where I kind of land too. The temperature in Texas has been very hot in the short term, up over 100 degrees for the last couple days, which is hot for even there, and that makes for very, very good hitting conditions. And we've seen that in the run lines, almost like independent who's pitching, and it just helps that these teams just don't have tons of great pitchers to throw out on the mound. So, I think you're going to see a pretty high ownership. And these are two teams too. I mean, the Rangers, the lineup is pretty static, and the guys in the second hole is like really what's moved around. They put Odor there at times, and they put Calhoun there at times with now that Mazar is on the bench, Mazar is on the DL. And then Oakland, their lineup in the middle of the order is usually the same, where we see some movement sometimes with Fowler moving up to the top of the lineup. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on where their lineups come in, but there's almost definitely going to be value one way or the other because that value is coming in early as it is. Anyone else before we get out of here? You mentioned Hellickson. I don't know if you really want to how much you want to target there with the Junior Guerra going the other way with the Nationals. Anyone else before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think Hellickson always remains a reasonable target for big tournaments simply because the K rate and the walk rate are both really low. So, we wind up putting up big numbers in tournaments when guys make hard contact and put up runs in bunches. And I still think, Hellickson is pitching the best he ever has in his entire career. And, I don't want to take that away from him. But I still think he's a reasonable target for big tournaments just because so many balls are going to be put in play there. So that's really why I wanted to call that out. You have other kind of mediocre to bad pitchers going today. I mean, we mentioned the Coors game, the Astros going against Tyler Anderson. You have the Angels going against Carlos Rodon. So I think you have other options too, but I do think that the overall cash game stacks are pretty easy.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Good to be back after a multi week.
great to be back after months and months off the air.
All right, dfsr.com/MLB will just get you started. Free 3-day trial, so go check that out. It's free for 3 days and then just $29.95 a month after. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more baseball. Buddy, enjoy your Tuesday.
Peace.